officials in the Ohio High School Athletic Association voted last month to allow student athletes to earn money from name, image, and likeness deals. What could that mean for students and their families? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to explain what NIL deals entail and the earning potential for teen sports stars is Bricker Graydon, higher education compliance consultant, Joel Nielsen. Thanks for being here, Joel.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're very grateful for your time. Joel, can you start by explaining how these NIL deals work? Are these like endorsement deals?
Yeah, they're third-party agreements with a student, with a business primarily, and it's their name, image, and likeness. So they'll primarily be doing ads or social media hits and that sort of thing and be compensated for that.
What paved the way for college athletes to be able to earn money this way?
Well, that happened a few years back, and it really was the amount of money in the system and the thought that the student athletes weren't receiving the kind of compensation that they should be with the amount of money in the system. And so went to courts, which is very similar to what happened in the state of Ohio. And it really forced the hand. And we've seen it now in the college space for 2 or 3 years. And in the high school space for almost that long. Ohio was recently voted it in November. And they were the 45th state. So there's 44 states that went in front of them with the high school.
Well, we are talking about name, image, and likeness deals for high school athletes. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. You mentioned the decision by the Ohio High School Athletic Association. A Dayton area high school student filed suit to open the door to NIL deals for high school students in the state. How have the courts generally viewed these student NIL deals, but at the college and high school level?
Yeah, that's really how it got started in almost every state, and as I mentioned, at the college level also. And so the courts have been sympathetic to the students' wishes and wants and desires to be able to earn compensation for their NIL. And so it's been pretty consistent across the country, both in the high school and the college space.
How much money are college students earning through these deals? I mean, is there a range that you're seeing?
Yeah, it varies, obviously, for the higher profile, what we would call the five-star athletes. They can receive well into the seven figures per year for quarterbacks or point guards or leading scorers in basketball. So we do see that at that level. High school would be a fraction of that unless you have, again, a LeBron James sort of an athlete, a transformational type athlete coming out of the high school space where they would see figures, probably not in the seven figures, but probably well into the six figures for an athlete at that level.
Wow. So for college athletes, you're saying $1 million or more per year if they're those five-star athletes. And for the high school superstars, it can be $100,000 or more.
Yeah, that would be just a handful. And the Columbus Dispatch just reported last week that since November 17th, that only 11 athletes in Ohio have filed NIL agreements. So it out of the 400,000 total student athletes in high schools in Ohio. So it's really, really a small percentage. And for those, I'm sure most of the high school students would be more in the, $100, $200 range. It would only be for those real transformational type players.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I really want to talk about how many student athletes realistically can get NIL deals like this. I mean, do you have any thoughts on, I know this just started in Ohio, but any thoughts on overall what percentage of kids at high schools could realistically qualify for this? And, any thoughts on that? Which sports are going to be the big ones?
Yeah, they're actually everybody qualifies for it. So just to, straight clear that up, but everybody had qualified for it. But those that have the opportunity to actually take part in receiving cash, what I've seen is nationally, it's around 8%. So it's a super low number.
And is that at the high school level or the college level or both maybe?
Yeah, that would be at the high school level.
Okay.
Yeah, the college level is considerably higher. And then also what happened at the college level was there was a settlement of three lawsuits. They called it the House case settlement. And that allowed now Division I institutions to pay student athletes revenue share. So now colleges and universities can pay student athletes, plus they'll have NIL opportunities. So that space has really changed a lot in the last 3 to 4 years.
With such a small percentage of high school students who really realistically have the opportunity to make money from this, especially the tiny percentage that have the opportunity to make big money. If you've got, you know, a superstar football or basketball player who can make $100,000 a year in NIL deals, do you have any thoughts on what kind of impact that has on the rest of the school and its students? I mean, maybe the, you know, kids on the golf team or whatever.
Yeah, it can. Definitely, it causes a lot of visibility for not only that individual, but also where they're going to school. It's really, as I said earlier, it's going to impact a very few number of student athletes. Most of the deals that we'll probably see in the state of Ohio are similar to other states before it that have gone with this prior, is that you'll see smaller deals with, you know, pizza shops or local establishments in their community where they can drive traffic through their social media. Most of this is driven by the individual's social media platform and their reach.
Gotcha. Their TikToks and Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What about the impact for the other students, the kids who are sitting there and they're working hard on their sports, but they're not making anything? Is there an impact more broadly for the whole school, do you think?
Well, I think we've already experienced that a little bit in the college space, and those student athletes in the college space that are the higher earners, you see them, you know, quote unquote, kind of taking care of their teammates and providing them with, whether it's the Beats, you know, headphones, or getting them products or endorsement opportunities off from their deals. So we have seen that in the college space. I'm not familiar if that has entered the high school space, but that's a possibility moving forward as they take care of their teammates.
Well, the NIL policy change only took place in the NCAA a few years ago. Do you think there are lessons that high school athletic departments can really learn from the collegiate level as this starts to happen in Ohio?
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons of just be ready for change and ready for adjustments. It's really this. It's the same in the high school space now as in the college space, is that it's so unregulated and every state has its own set of laws and interpretations. And so there's not a single nationwide policy and procedure to follow. And so it's quite confusing for the students, their parents, their agents, and others as to what each state mandates or requires. And so it's just get ready for being uncomfortable and working in that space.
What do you think schools need to watch out for to make sure the kids who are maybe these kind of superstars aren't being exploited, that like child labor laws aren't being violated, that they're still getting enough time for their academics?
Yeah, it's all of the agreements at high school and at the college level, it cannot be considered pay for play or inducement, and from a recruiting standpoint. And I think that's where colleges have struggled a little bit up to this point. And I'm a little bit fearful that, you know, it could happen in the high school space also, that that you see this pay for play or this inducement for recruiting come into play. And that's, I think, where we really walk a thin line.
Yeah. I want to circle back to this very small number of kids who really have this opportunity to make big money. And you talked about how at the college level, some high-profile athletes have tried to share the wealth a bit by getting their teammates special equipment or gifts or whatever. Do you have any thoughts on just how it makes other kids feel? I guess I'm especially thinking about teenagers at the high school level. You know, you're sitting in class with some kid who maybe can afford to buy themselves a fancy car, and you're struggling to make practice, and you maybe got a job in fast food. And I mean, are there any concerns about sort of the emotional impact of that?
Well, and I think you're right. I think there's always concerns about the emotional impact on young people nowadays with, you know, the social media and the challenges there and the, you know, what they have to deal with each and every day being on those platforms. And so I think this could be just another added feature of what they have to deal with each and every day. But we've seen some of that at the college level, but not so much at the high school, at least to this point that I've heard about.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that Ohio became the 45th state in the country to allow these NIL deals at the high school level. Why do you think this has spread so quickly?
Well, it's the courts. It's the courts and it's the students who feel as though they deserve this opportunity and deserve this right, which we, you know, can be talked about in another conversation. But and the courts agreeing with them. There have been some states that have, you know, been slow to take this on, and I understand that rationale and those reasons. But when the court rules as they have across the country, it kind of forces the hands of these high school athletic associations.
And I guess once one court rules in one state, the courts in the other state kind of view that as precedent.
Yeah, that can absolutely be viewed as precedent.
Yeah. Well, this will be interesting to see how it plays out. Are there any athletes in Ohio you're keeping your eye on?
There's a lot of great athletes in Ohio. And as I said, with only 11 athletes filing to this point, it's something that, you know, schools just need to be conscious of and keep an eye out for.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Bricker Graydon, Higher Education Compliance Consultant, Joel Nielsen. Thank you so much for your time today, Joel. It's been very helpful, and I hope you have a great holiday.
Lucy, thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. Up next, we're going to hear from a state lawmaker about why he thinks these NIL deals are such a bad idea for high school athletes. He thinks they're such a bad idea, in fact, that he's planning to introduce legislation to put the brakes on this in the new year. This is Cincinnati Edition. We just heard how name, image, and likeness rules can work for student athletes, but not everyone thinks kids in high school should be profiting from NIL deals. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to explain his opposition to name, image, and likeness deals for high school athletes is Ohio State Representative Adam Byrd, a Claremont County Republican. Welcome back, Representative Byrd.
Lucy, it's an honor to be with you. I'm looking forward to discussing an important topic with you.
Well, I appreciate your being with us. I understand you have said you plan to introduce a bill to prohibit name, image, and likeness deals for high school and middle school students in Ohio. What are your concerns about these NIL deals?
Well, it's multifaceted. And so I'll start first with what athletics are to me. And, you know, we call them in schools today, we don't call them extracurricular anymore. We call them co-curricular because many educators view athletics as an extension of the classroom. And we view it as an extension of the classroom because there's so many things that are taught when you are a part of a team, things like discipline and character and leadership and communication and fitness. And all of these things are really important opportunities for us to provide to our young people. And we do that because we believe that it makes them a better graduate and a better member of tomorrow's workforce. And so, you know, I think that's what it's about. I think that's why we spend public tax dollars to build stadiums and weight rooms and gymnasiums, and we pay coaches and you know, all of the people that are involved in that, because we believe it's an important opportunity for students. Now, secondly, why else is this a problem? And that's because OHSAA has made this plea to its member schools to vote yes on a change based on one ruling from one judge in Franklin County. And I think that it's real important that I convince 50 of my House colleagues and 17 of my Senate colleagues to agree with me that the legislative branch should weigh in on this. And I think that a state legislature, should I be able to convince my colleagues, that ruling, that prohibition, if we were able to make that happen, should be more important than one judge in the judicial branch at the county level.
Do Do you have any concerns? You mentioned athletics being co-curricular. Do you have any concerns that NIL deals, if they're allowed, could be a distraction from academics? I mean, there's already so much pressure on these athletes as far as college recruitment. Do you think this could possibly take away more focus from learning in the classroom?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. That's definitely the right question. And, you know, we've got to make sure that athletes are not, you know, they shouldn't have to go out there and get a manager and a tax advisor. And, you know, we should not have some kids in high school, the quarterback or the wide receiver, the running back, you know, making money while other people laboring in anonymity along the offense or defensive line, or, you know, in wrestling, or, you know, girls golf, or whatever the case might be. These other athletes are, you know, doing and learning and growing while others are out there in the limelight, and they're having so much attention and pressure placed upon them. And I think part of prohibiting NIL is protecting our youth and protecting their time to be a young person and to grow and to be with their fellow classmates, and not allowing them to, you know, have the pressure of being a social media influencer and a wage earner more than the coach or the athletic director or the official or the bus driver that buses them to their game.
Well, the Ohio High School Athletic Association voted late last month to approve NIL for high school students across Ohio with some limitations. Why do you think so many school leaders agreed to that?
Well, this is a question that we get asked from time to time. And I think they agreed to it, number one, because OHSAA asked them to and told its member schools, you need to vote yes on this because there's a judge in Franklin County that has issued a temporary restraining order on behalf of an athlete from Dayton. And we're asking you to vote yes so that we can comply with what this one judge said. And if you notice with the results, there was over 100 schools who voted no anyway, and there were 200 schools that had abstained. And I personally believe that all of those schools that abstained did so because they did not want to vote yes. I've heard from many of these people, Lucy, they did not want to vote yes. They don't believe this is the right thing. It's not what education in Ohio should be about. And so, you know, they're not going into this willingly.
Well, let me ask you this. I understand 44 other states already allow high school students to enter into these NIL deals. Why shouldn't Ohio join the pack?
Well, you know, that number has been thrown out a lot, and I'm doing a little personal research with my staff on that, because when I hear people say 44 other states allow it, does that mean that their state legislature has stayed out of it? Does that state legislature expressly allow it, you know, or have they just not even weighed in? And I think those are some important considerations to take. Did this happen in other states because a judge decided it? And I just, you know, I believe in the co-equal branch of government, three co-equal branches. And I think that as a state legislature, we should not just sit on the sideline and allow other branches to make all of these decisions.
I want to come back to the impact on students. Do you think there's any risk that these NIL deals could lead to young athletes being exploited somehow?
Oh, my goodness. Of course. And you see what a disaster NIL has been at the college level. And, you know, we've got kids who are transferring all of the time. I hear from college coaches, Lucy, that tell me that when they're recruiting an athlete now, they don't even talk to the athlete that they're recruiting, doesn't want to know about the major that they might be studying. They don't want to know about the football program. They don't want to hear about all of these, you know, what's the social life on campus. There's only one question anymore to the recruiting process, and that is, how much money will you give me? That's the only, that's where the conversation begins and ends. So that's not good at all. And so what I foresee happening, Lucy, in Ohio is that you're going to have wealthy alumni Let's say a car dealer. Car dealer is a wealthy alumni of a certain school, and now they go and pick and choose good athletes from surrounding schools to sign an NIL deal if you come to the school of my choice. And, you know, the way that the language has been crafted by OHSAA, the principal, the athletic director, the coach, they're not allowed to be a part of this. They're not allowed to be involved. And when that happens, you're going to have people, alumni specifically, that are associated with schools that are going to take care of all of this stuff so that the coach and the principal can say, oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Hmm. You mentioned before this lawsuit filed in Franklin County by this Dayton area high school football star. And I've seen him quoted in media coverage saying, hey, he wants to be able to do this NIL stuff so he can earn extra money to help his mom, who's a single mom, so that he can pay for extra academic help and maybe extra football training to really maximize his chances at, you know, doing big things in football. What do you think of that?
I think he's been coached very well by a public relations group or by his lawyers. I think what you quoted him as saying sounds really good. And to some, it might sound compelling even. But you know, I went to school back in the 70s and 80s, and we didn't have it then. And we didn't have it in the 90s and the 2000s and so forth. And we all did just fine. And you know, I think that there's something to be said for amateur athletics. There's something to be said for being a member of a team sport, because when you join a team sport, you are saying, I'm going to place the needs, the desires, and the mission of that team above my own. And so when I put the team's goals above my own, that means I'm willing to sit the bench sometimes. I'm willing to be a good team player. I'm willing to be a good practice player. I'm willing to be a cheerleader and an encourager. And so there's so many learning opportunities that come from team sports. I think it's gross and icky that we talk about now using publicly funded stadiums and weight rooms to help young people earn a living.
Hmm. What about, you know, we talked about types of exploitation and concerns about that with these students. What about even child labor concerns? Is that something that worries you with this?
You know, you bring up a good issue, and you know, I'm not too worried about that, but certainly that's an avenue that we'll have to have our lawyers take a look at.
I know this policy that the OHSAA approved says students can't promote things like gambling, alcohol, or cannabis. Do you think those prohibitions provide any kind of safeguards from your perspective?
Maybe they do. But you know, I'm just not sure that everything OHSAA says in their bylaws is actually going to come to fruition at times. And we all know that right now recruiting is not allowed in high schools in Ohio. You're not allowed to recruit a kid from another nearby school to come to yours. Now, if they want to transfer on their own, that's their own decision to make. But just because OHSAA forbids it doesn't mean that it's not happening. And recruiting is happening all over the state of Ohio. And all you have to do is talk to some of your friends, athletic directors, coaches, and some of the local high schools, and they will tell you that it's happening. OHSAA doesn't have the ability to stop that. And just because they've got language in place that they think is going to be protective of what they're trying to install with NIL doesn't mean that they're actually going to be able to monitor and police that.
We started out this conversation talking about this bill that you plan to introduce. Have you started talking with other lawmakers about this? Do you think you'll be able to get enough votes for passage in the Ohio House and Senate?
That is something that I've definitely been doing. I have been speaking to my colleagues about this, and you're probably aware that we have not been in session since before Thanksgiving. We've taken Thanksgiving, we're taking the rest of, 5-6 weeks off until 2026. And so we're just in that period of time where, you know, we're not really in committees, we're not meeting in session, but I am calling and I'm talking. I've not just talked to my House colleagues. I've talked to the Speaker of the House about it. I've talked to my Senate friends about it, Senate colleagues. And so, you know, a lot of things go into passing a bill, and being a good communicator is part of that. And I've already been down that path.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Adam Byrd, a Claremont County Republican. Thank you so much for your time today.
Lucy, it's such an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate you bringing some light to this important subject.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays. Up next, the University of Cincinnati has amassed a huge art collection. What's being done to make it more accessible to the public? This is Cincinnati Edition.